We're on Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph, about halfway through the Amud, and you'll see in the wide lines, if you count down three lines from the beginning of the wide lines on Chav Tes Amud Aleph, you'll get to Omer of Yosef. So the sugi here is a hemshech of Rabbi Menashe. Rav Menashe had a statement in the name of Rav, and that comment of Rav Menashe was on a brisa. Now, just by way of introduction, the whole sugya that we began yesterday and we're going to continue on today is the comparison between what's called Maiser Oni and the Shtei Seudos, Mozen Shtei Seudos for an Eruv. And the one who made that analogy, who made that comparison, was Rav. But as we see today, there are two traditions in Rav. One tradition is Rav Menashe's tradition. And in that tradition, Rav, when he equated Maiser Oni to Eruv, he was talking about a Braisa. And Rav Yosef is going to have a different tradition in which Rav's comment and his equation between Maiser Oni and Eruv is on a Mishnah, not on a Braisa. We didn't get to that Mishnah yet, but the Gemara is going to quote that Mishnah. So let's first, in order to, you know, put things into a perspective, let's talk about Rav Menashe and his Braisa. And that's just a few lines above where we're starting with today. In that Braisa, there was a whole list of shiurim for various kinds of spices and fruits with regard to Maiser Oni. And the case, as we mentioned yesterday, is that you're out in the field, and it's the third of the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, and the Aniyim are coming to collect Maiser Oni, and the Torah says, V'nasata l'alevi l'ager le'asom l'almona v'yachlu b'sharecha v'saveyu. So the Torah says you need an asina to give to the Oni Maiser, and we derive from the asina that you have to give to the Oni a shear of Mazon Shtei Seudos. I mean, the Gemara is assuming that on an average day you eat two full meals. I mean, I don't know if the halacha would change today when you eat three meals, but they had a two-meal minimum, or maximum. So that when the Torah says V'nasata in the parasha of Maiser Oni, Nesina means Mazon Shtei Seudos. And the Braisa goes through one by one. For example, in the case of Tavlin, you need what's called a Litra. That's a certain Mida. And in a case of Yerek, you need Tavlin is Kedei L'tabel basar shel shtei sudos. And Yerek requires a litra. And with regard to nuts, you need 10 nuts, 5 for each meal. With regard to peaches, you need 5 peaches. With regard to pomegranates, you need 2 pomegranates. And esrog is 1 esrog is enough. I guess you can split it in 2 meals. Now, at the end of this whole braisa, we have a tradition of Rav Menashe in the name of Rav that he says V'chein Le'eruv. So those are the key words attributing to Rav, V'chein Le'eruv. And the Gemara wants to make an equation between peaches and apples, and the Gemara says no, it could be that that apples require a greater shear than peaches, because 5 peaches is enough, as a dessert for two sudos. But in the case of apples, we have to bring out more apples. Okay, fine. Amar Rav Yosef, Sharle Mare, L'Rav Menashe Barash Guvli. The Almighty, the Master, should forgive Rav Menashe for making this mistake. What mistake did he make? I know I'm Risa Niyala Masnisim V'hu Amra Braisa. This quote of Rav, V'chein Le'eruv, those are the key two words for today, V'chein Le'eruv, are an addendum or a tag on to the Mishnah. Again, we'll see what Mishnah in a minute. But Rav Menashe made a mistake, and he thought that when Rav said V'chein Le'eruv, he was referring to the Braisa. And that's a mistake. And the whole sugya for today, it's a kind of an interesting, you know, that the Gemara would spend so much time on this, but the whole sugya today tries to explain why Rav Yosef was so makted, you know, he was so ballistic, if you can use that term, against Rav Menashe, because Rav Menashe interpreted the V'chein Le'eruv of Rav as a comment attached to the Braisa with the fruits and the nuts and the spices, rather than the truth, that's what Rav Yosef says, is that Rav's V'chein Le'eruv was a comment on a Mishnah, not on a Braisa. And to try to understand what bothers Rav Yosef. I mean, okay, so Rav Menashe made a boo-boo. Okay, he thought V'chein Le'eruv was Rav's comment on a mission, on a braisa. His vas is, you know, vas is shoshlecht. So it's a comment on a braisa. I mean, what do we lose by that? And the difficulty in the sugi that we're about to learn is it's very difficult to figure out what the difference is between the Braisa and the Mishnah. They both basically say the same thing. You know, the Mishnah gives us, as we'll soon see, a list of Shiurim for Nesina of Maiser Ani, the minimum amount that you have to give to the Ani, and the Braisa does the same. It's just that the Braisa speaks about fruits and nuts and spices, and the Mishnah is going to talk about Chitim and Siorim. But there's no apparent machlokas here between the Braisa and the Mishnah. So if, you know, if Rav Yosef is just upset about Rav Menashe because, you know, he misquoted Rav, okay, you know, that's a halbitzara, but I don't know why Rav Yosef, you know, may the Master in Heaven forgive this mistake of Rav Menashe. He made a big mistake. What's the big mistake? I mean, basically, the Braises talk about the Shiurim of Maiser Ani in certain foods. And the Mishnah that we're about to learn is also listing different foods and what the minimum shear of Nesina for Maiser Ani is. Just that these foods are different than these foods. But the same endeavor and the same challenge is being faced both by the Braisa and the Mishnah. Namely, what are the Shiurim, the minimum that you want to fulfill the mitzvah of Nesina, and you're obligated to do so, vis-a-vis the Aniyim who come around the field, and they want to pick up Maiser Ani. So I don't know if this introduction helps you or confuses you. This is my confusion in the sugya. I don't know why. Later we'll see Tosis, but why, you know, there's a whole sugya here. What, you know, Rav Yosef was so objected to Rav Menashe because he attached V'chein Le'eruv of Rav to a Braisa instead of a Mishnah. Okay, so whatever. So Rav Menashe made that mistake. Okay. We say Yish Tefar Izvah, so what's so terrible about it? So that's my problem in this sugya. Tisnan, we have a Mishnah at the end of Masechta Peah with regard to Maiser Ani. Ein pochasin li ani bagoren Right, so in the fields they had something called a goren. Right, that's where the, you know, the refinery, that's where they collected all the fields, I mean all the grains that were reaped in the field. So they brought it to a goren, and that's where the aniyim would come, and they would flock on the third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle to receive Miser on at the goren. So the goren is like a central place where, you know, they brought in all the grains after they did the ktsira, after they did the harvest. And now at that point the Baal HaBayis has to divvy out the Miser Oni. So now the Mishnah is going to differentiate between wheat and barley. Okay? Wheat and barley. So in the case of wheat, it's a chatzi kav chitim. The minimum is a half a kav. But in the case of siorim, we double it. And it's got to be kav siorim. Now, just on a very, very superficial level, we would say the following. That, again, maybe today it's different, I don't know, but in the old days, wheat was more chashiv than barley. Barley was sort of like animal fodder. It wasn't, you know, they didn't. Today, I don't think that's true anymore. You know, you can get barley bread and different things. I don't know. But at least back in the day, you know, let's say the market price for barley was much lower per volume, at the same volume as wheat. So since we want to give the ani a nesina, nesina has to have a certain chashivas to it. So in the case of wheat, we can give him half of the amount that we would give for barley. So that would be, you know, just to simply interpret the words of the Mishnah. However, if you look into the commentaries, like there's a super commentary on Mishnayos called the Teferes Yisrael, in the old-fashioned Mishnayos, which we used to call the Ayin Beis Pirushim, you know, the Yochin Ubaz. You know, Kahati has already replaced that. Nobody looks at those. Anyway, but in the old Mishnayos, I actually have a set of them somewhere. You have the Teferes Yisrael. So he gives us a little bit of an insight into the difference between Chitim and Siorim. So let me share this with you, and I have to admit, there's one point that I just simply can't figure out. I'm afraid maybe it's a mistake in the text. I don't know, because just the mathematics doesn't work out for me. So maybe you'll help me with this. He says the following. So this is the Teferes Yisrael. Kol Seuda Tzricha Shlosha Beitzim Pas, which means the following: that when we set up a shear of chita, that shear of chita, of how much, you know, natural kernels of wheat, has to be enough wheat that could produce a loaf of bread that is three beitzim. Okay? That's per seuda. Now again, we need mazon shtei seuda, so we're going to have to double that. So we're going to need enough chitim to produce three beitzim for one pas, and double that another volume of chita to produce a second loaf of three beitzim. Because the pas is three baits. And this he bases on a Gemara later on at the end of Masechta Erevin on Daf Pei Gimel. Okay, so we have a Maramokum here. Now, how much is a kav in order to calculate chatzikav, right? In the case of barley, we need a full kav. But in the case of of chito, we said a chatzi kav. So let's figure out how much a kav is in beitzim, and divide it by two to get a chatzi kav, and figure out how we're going to get one pas of three beitzim, which is suda achas, and another pas of three beitzim for another suda. So he says the following, hakav hu esrim v'arba beitzim. You may remember this from Thursday, I think we discussed this, right? Because a kav is four lugim, a lug is six beitzim. So if you have four lugim, which is each lug is six beitzim, you end up with four times six is 24 beitzim. So a kav equals 24 beitzim. In the case of chita, we're going to divide that by two, and we're going to end up with 12 beitzim's worth of chita, of, you know, original, natural wheat. So he says, chatzi kav hu shneimas ar beitzim. Alright, so far I'm doing okay. But here's where I get lost. He says that when you start with 12 beitzim in the natural, right, wheat, you're going to end up with much less of a volume of pas. Where did the volume get lost? He says this psoles hachitim. I guess that chitim have, you know, husks on them or chaffs or whatever you want to call them. That he calls that psoles, and that apparently is a significant volume of the chita. And then he says v'chein, we also have to subtract ha'hotzos shetzorich kidei lefos halechem. Which, if I understand correctly, he means that mazon shtei sudos should also supply the ani with a certain value. And, you know, you pay the baker and so forth and so on. You know, the baker has to pay his overheads and his rental and so forth and so on. So these are called hotzos kidei lafoso lechem. Now, what is the entire shiur, right? If you started with a chatzi kav, which we said was 12 beitzim, so he says when you subtract the psoles and the hotzos, you end up with a shiur of shisha beitzim. One second, does that make sense? This is where I got stuck, but now I think I've figured it out. One second, maybe I did figure it out. One second. Chatzi kav. Oh yeah, I think it works out. See, this is what happens when you learn b'chavrusa. When you learn alone, it's hard to figure it out. But I think what he's saying is that the sum minus, the sum total of the minus, which is x plus y, that's the psoles plus the otzos, is half of the original. Do you follow what I mean? So you reduce it by 50%. So you started with a chatzi kav, which we said was 12 beitzim, because a full kav is 24 beitzim. Correct? And if you divide it in half, meaning if you subtract 50% for the psoles and otzos, you end up with 6 beitzim. Ah, so why is 6 beitzim my key of keys? Because 3 beitzim is a pas lechem, which is mazon suda achas, and we double that to get mazon shtei sudos, which is a double pas. So we end up with 6 beitzim, 3 beitzim plus 3 beitzim. And we started with 12 beitzim. Oh, I think I got it now. All right? You're laughing at me because like a third grader would understand this better than I would, right? But I think what he's saying is that if we start with a chatzi kav of chita, we end up with 6 beitzim of pas. And that's mazon shtei sudo. Nimtza, let's see if I can read the next line. Shemikav chitim tishar biyado pas b'shir shisha beitzim. Here's where I got lost. This is what I don't understand. I wish I could tell you this was a mistake in the print. All right, I'm going to have to research this. maybe I'll take out my old Mishnayos here and figure it out. Because he quotes us the name of Tiferes Yisrael. I don't understand. What does he mean? Mikav Chitim. Kav Chitim is 24 Beitzim. Tishar B'yodo Pas B'shir Shisha Beitzim. Had to go down from 24 down to 6. Again, Rabosai, don't V'tishkach, but I'm telling you there's a printing error here. It should be Chatzikav. The Chatzikav, which is 12 Beitzim, Tishar Pas Bishir Shisha Beitzim. I don't know. Again, I apologize, but I honestly think there's a little bit of a mistake here. Shehi Mazon Shtei Sudos. Okay. Oh, Ubitama. Oh, this is the punchline that I wanted to get to. Ubitama Dovar Shebeseorim Shiurim Gadol Yoser. So, right, we said that the Shir for a Chitim is a chatzi kav, correct? And for Seorim, it's a kav. Beer b'Tiferes Yisrael, he's continuing with the Tiferes Yisrael. She Seorim enom osim hapas el measoles hayoser nekia. Which I think what he means is that the Seorim is full of a lot of psoles. And if you want to get a flour for a bread made out of barley, you're going to have to get rid of a lot of the original volume. V'lachein tzarech liten kav sholem. The lite means to the oni. Kedei she yishoyer biyodo pas shel shisha beitzim. Okay. Just one second. Yeah, well, I think what he means by pas shel shisha beitzim is that he doesn't have to make two breads. You know, we're not talking about shleimus here for lechem mishnah. So you can make one large, you know, pas made of barley, the volume of which is 6 beitzim, and 3 beitzim's worth will last for one suda, and 3 beitzim will last them tomorrow for the next suda. So I, you know, when I initially learned this gemara before the Tiferes Yisrael, I thought that we're just saying that Seorim is Meichel Behema, it doesn't have the chashivas of chita, and therefore if you want to placate the Ani, you know, you should walk out with a smile on his face, give him from Seorim double the volume. But now the Tiferes Yisrael is breaking it down to a science. You know, it's a scientific description that the nature of Seorim is such that in order to get a pas nekia, you have to get rid of a lot of psoles. So it's not enough that you start with X and you divide X over 2 and the volume is going to be, you can end up with half the volume by removing the psoles, etc., etc. But it's over 4. In other words, you're going to have to start with a full 24 beitzim's worth in order to end up with 6 beitzim. Like, it's a ratio of 1 to 4, if I got that right. Yeah? Instead of 1 to 2. So that's the first part of this Mishnah. Now the Mishnah continues, and Rabbi Meir Omer Chatzi Kav Siorin, which means that Rabbi Meir equates Siorin with Chitim, and all you need is a Chatzi Kav. And again in the note, he continues with the Tiferes Yisrael. He says, Rabbi Meir Eino Cholek Al Tanakam V'etzem Ashir. He has no problem with the Shir. The Shir is Mazon Shtei Sudos. Ella Shebe Makomo Shel Rabbi Meir Hayu HaSiorim Yafos. That in Rabbi Meir's Gegen, you know, there they produced high quality, they grew high quality barley. Upsolosa Mu'etes. And is a limited amount of psoles. Kibo Chitin. V'lachein Bechatzi Kav Yochol Ha'oni lefos pas b'shir sheish beitzim. All right. So again, at this particular point, you know, this is not a you know, this is not the way we were trained to learn a Mishnah, but he's saying, for whatever it's worth, that this is not a machlokas. Market isle. You know, they're talking about two different realities, but the basic concept is the same, that we have to end up with sheish beitzim, because that's considered two pas, right? A double pas, pas shlosh beitzim, and that's mazon shtei sudos. Whether or not, in the case of sorim, you have to divide it, or you have to double it, or you keep it the same, that's the different issues about how much psolus you'll have to remove from the sorim. Then we get to kusmin. Now, I don't know, today they say that kusmin is spelt. I have my doubts as to whether, you know, you have to check out with, what's his name, Felix and all these great scholars in Zroim. Rav Shecht has what he has to say about it. And then maybe you have to go back to, if you want to go back to the real original, you have to go back to Lowy. Do you remember Lowy? Lowy was a Hungarian scholar. He was the Rav of the Dahani Shuls, one of the few shuls in Europe that the Nazis left standing. So next time you're in Budapest, if you haven't seen it already, you'll see the Dahani Shul. So he was the rabbi of the Dahani Shul. Have you seen it? It's a massive synagogue in the city of Budapest. And so he wrote three, his name is Lowy, Emmanuel Lowy. He was actually, I think, originally German, but then he settled in Hungary. But anyway, he wrote three volumes called Der Flora in der Talmud. The only reason I know this is because I tried my hand at going to Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik's shiur at Hebrew University about 45 years ago. And you had to come at 6 a.m. and you had to know any word in Zroim. You had to know, if you didn't check, you know, Lowy's dictionary, you were off me po, you know what I'm saying? They used to say, I don't know if it's true, that at one point everyone got thrown out of the class, but he said shia to himself. You know, that's anyway, so I'm not sure what kusmin is, but let's call it spelt, just, you know, just to get by. And he says you need kava chetzi kusmin, which means the way that Tiferes Yisrael is presenting it, that kusmin has even more psoles than Siorim. So I don't know if you have any way of Googling this, you know, you, assuming that Kusmin is spelt, and find out if there's more psoles, more chaff, or whatever it is in spelt. I don't know. So that requires what? A kavachetzi. Now we get up to figs. Now there are two types of figs. There's regular dried figs, and then there's Dvela figs. Dvela figs means they take the dried figs and they pound them until they make this kind of a, we'll call it a fig cake out of it. So if you're talking about regular classic figs, dried figs, then it's a kav grogros. But if you're talking about dvela, then you need mana. Now the interesting thing is that a kav is what we call volume. In Hebrew, it's called nofach. Mana is what's called mishkal. All of a sudden, when we get to dvela, we're no longer talking about how much space it takes up in a jar, but we're talking about how much it weighs. A mana is the equivalent to 100 dinrim, or 100 zuz. Now, exactly how much weight that is, I can't tell you. This would require a lot of research. I'll just tell you, you know, what the words say. So the Mishkal of Mea dinar is because a dinar is 6 mos, and the Mishkal of a ma is equal to 16 garine saora. So you have 16 kernels of barley. That's the equivalent of one ma, and you multiply that by 6 to get the weight of a dinar, and then you multiply that weight by 100 to get a mana, because a mana is 100 dinar. He writes that the mathematics, if you can do this for me to check this out, is that the mishkal of a mana is equal to 9,600 garine siora. How much does that weigh in our terms? I do not know. Now, Rabbi Akiva takes all the above everything we've done in the Mishnah until now, and he divides it by half. So he says, for example, in the case of a Dvela, the shear of a Dvela is a half a mana, which is equal to a pras. So the word pras means split. And you split a mana and you get a pras. Now, I think it's the Rashash says that although Rabbi Akiva gave the example of a Dvela, but he says that, let me just see if I could find it to you. The Rashash says that this applies also to regular te'enim yeveshos, you know, dried figs, and therefore the shear would be, according to Rabbi Akiva, chatzi grogeres. So we're going to split that in half. Okay, so that's as far as that goes. And now we get to yayin. And once again, the Mishnah records machlok stream, the Tanakama, the Chachomim, and Rabbi Akiva. The Chachomim require a chatzi log of yayin. So if you remember, we said that a log is equal to 6 beitzim. Now, let me just jump ahead of myself for a minute. For Kiddush on Friday night, we need what's called a revius log. If you multiply that by 2, because you need mazon shtei sudos, then the wine that you drink at 2 sudos is a chatzi log, meaning it's a revius log, a quarter of a log times 2. So whatever you decide a revius is, depending on Rav Chaim Noah and the Chazon Ish, right? So you'll multiply a revius times 2, because you need mazon shtei sudos. Now, honestly, this makes a lot of sense to me. I don't know why Rabbi Akiva has a problem with this, because it would seem to me that a shear of chashivas, when you drink wine, and not Kiddush is one example, is always a revius yayin. A Kohen who drinks a revius yayin is posel lavoda, and a nazir is going to get malchus for a revius yayin. I mean, revius yayin is the shear of yayin. And if you multiply that twice because you want to drink wine at each of 2 sudos, you end up with a chatzi log. So I don't know why Rabbi Akiva objects, but instead of drinking the wine, Rabbi Akiva says, no, we're not drinking wine at the suda. This is not France. Like my mother-in-law always tells me, you know, she was after the war, she was in France for 5 years as a youngster, you know, teenager. And there was no such thing as a meal in France, in the Beis Yaakov in France, without wine, you know. And this is true today, not just in France. So Rabbi Akiva says, forget about drinking wine. We're not drinking wine at the Suda. We don't have to supply the Ani with wine to drink at the Suda. But rather, Revius Halug, which means that at each meal, he's being given Shminis Halug, 1/8 of a Lug. And the reason for that is because apparently Rabbi Akiva is not interested in drinking the wine, but rather in dipping the bread in the wine. And the case that I think Rabbi Akiva makes a lot of sense, I don't know about dipping bread in wine, I can't tell you, is the next case called shemen. Because what do you do with shemen? Nobody drinks shemen. In fact, the Gemara says in Ketzav Varchim that shemen is harmful for the body. To drink shemen. But shemen is used for what? For tibul. You take your bread and you dip it in the oil. I don't know if you gentlemen do that, but that's what we do every Friday night. Anyway. So Rabbi Akiva Omer, instead of revius of the Tanakama, because, you know, revius is much more of a large shear for drinking, but always drinking the oil, you're just doing tibul, is all you need is shminis of a lug, 1/8 of a lug. Okay, so that's what we have. So far we've discussed grains, at least we covered 3 out of the 5 species of grains, and we discussed dates in 2 different contexts. There's what we call grogros, and then there's something called dvela, and now we discussed wine and oil. Ushar kol aperos, Omar abashol. So what's the shear of other peros? Now it seems that the Mishnah has a problem with peros, because, you know, in the case of wine and oil, you could talk about dipping, you could talk about drinking, but how much, you know, how much do you, you know, let's say I bring out dessert, so I bring out a fruit platter. So how much do I put on the fruit platter? That's a little bit tricky. So Rabbi Abba says, that Abba Shol, that at this point we should convert it into its market value. You know, we're not going to force the Oni to serve, you know, melon and fruits and so forth at his dessert table. But Kadesh Yim Kareim, how much fruit can you give him such that if he sells them on the market, Yikach Mehem Mazon Shtei Sudos? And you may recall that when we started this perek, we spoke about a concept called Lelafos Boas Apas, that there's certain foods that are brought out together with the bread. You know, Yerokos, which we said is Kidei Netilas Yad, and this is Mazon Shtei Sudos, meaning how many vegetables or Gulei Dvel apparently was used in part of the meal do you bring out with the Pas. But when you get to fruits, that's already called kinuach. That's already a dessert. So in the case of a dessert, we're not giving the, when we say we're giving the ani and fruits mazon shtei sudos, it's not necessarily mazon shtei sudos. He's not, you know, he's not a rich guy that could, you know, to buy a fruit platter, right? I remember, you know, I spent 2 years in Canada, and I was very often a guest at different meals. I can't even begin to describe to you the fruit platters that they bring out. Maybe you have to make up for the fact that it's a freezing cold country over there. So you got to be, you know, you got to be in a better mood. So to get you into a better mood, they bring you these fruit platters. I mean, you can see it in Teaneck, New Jersey too. You don't have to go all the way up to Toronto, but people spend home to our phone on fruit platters. But an ani, so give him enough fruit that if he sells it to an usher, he can buy himself bread and vegetables and a couple of pieces of fish, you know, for his suda. Says Rav Yosef, here's where Rav added his addendum. The Amar Rav, v'chein l'inyan eruv. So you, Rav Menashe, told me that when we had the Braisa that discussed pilpilim and afarsikim and all that stuff, you know, that's where Rav said v'chein l'inyan eruv. Nay, Rav, in the true emistika tradition, the transmission of Torah, he added his comment v'chein l'inyan eruv with regard to the Mishnah. The Mishnah in the 8th parak of Peah. Frek the Gemara, my ulmi hai mehach. You know, you say there's a certain significance to the Mishnah above and beyond the Braisa. What's bothering you, Rav Yosef? What difference does it make whether this comment of Rav was made on the Mishnah, as you insist, or it was added to the Braisa? So I'll read to you his biur here. He writes, this is like a summary of Rashi with a little marsha added to it. He says, Madua hikpid Rav Yosef al kachshe Rav Mesharshia shina or shana es memra shel Rav al abraisa. Hagei abraisa va mishnah enom sosro zuesu. There's no contradiction here between the braisa and the mishnah. Haminim shehuzkru ba mishnah lo huzkru ba braisa. So you have a long list of different kinds of species of food, and this list is not the same as that list. But other than that, there's no machlokas. They're just giving shiurim to different. Imkein afim rav im rav omer stvar val mishnah. Even if I grant Rav Yosef, you know, his premise is correct, that he was just adding a comment to the Mishnah, and the Shir Shtei Sudas for Eruv from those minim, those species that are listed, enumerated in the Mishnah, are equal to the Shtei Sudos of Maiser Ani, as far as Maiser Ani is concerned, is Yesh Lomot Shekenu Adin L'Yin HaMinim Shehuzku Ba Braisa. In other words, b'yisodo shel davar, there's no difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. They're just addressing different lists of foodstuffs. But the principle is the same, and that is that you need mazon shtei sudos. I'll give you the list for these species for Maiseroni, and for these species for Maiseroni, Mishnah and Braisa. And then add Rav's point, v'chein l'inyan Eruv. That's identical in the case of Eruv, which requires mazon shtei sudos. So the Gemara throws out one possibility to justify Rav Yosef's, getting upset here, and the Gemara rejects it. Elam, if you'll tell me, Mishum de Katani Bahach, Tavlin, the first quote, which means the Braisa that we brought first, mentions Tavlin. Tavlin lav b'nei achila ninu. It means that Rav Yosef understood that there was a machlokes, ledina, between the Mishnah and Peah and the Braisa. And Nafkamina is going to be, this is the debate, about Tavlin. Why? Because Tavlin in their natural state are not edible. We do not eat pepper. I mean, I'm sure there's someone on the face of the earth who eats pepper. But we don't eat pepper. What do we do with pepper? We add it to a tavshil. But in and of itself, it's not edible. So if a person sets up an Eruv with Tavlin, Rav Yosef would argue, that's not an Eruv. That's not valid. You need mazon shtei sudos. Nobody's going to eat pepper. So you could create a whole, one of those, those large containers of pepper, that you buy in Costco, what I'm saying? And great, it's... But that's not an Erev. Erev means mazon shtei sudos. Therefore, when Rav was quoted by Rav Menashe to say v'chein le'eruv in the context of the Braisa, which is addressing pilpulim, tavlin, that's a mistake. It can't be that Rav would have said v'chein le'eruv, because, maybe in the case of an ani, you could say that, give him a big jar of pepper and he'll sell it on the market. It's no worse than certain fruits. But don't tell me that as far as an Eruv, you can make an Eruv out of pilpulin. The Gemara rejects it. That can't be Rav Yosef's problem. Atu hacha milok tani chitin usiorin. And what does it say in the Mishnah? It says chitin usiorin. Do you know of anybody who eats chitin and siorim? You'll get a pretty bad bellyache if you eat chitin m'siorin. Lav b'nei achilin in. You can take the chitin m'siorin and remove the chaff and grind it down to a flour and bake a bread out of it. But we're talking about how much chitin m'siorin you would give to an ani in order to end up with a pas of 3 beitzim times 2, which is 6 beitzim. But when Rav says v'chein l'inyan Eruv, he doesn't mean that you can set up an Eruv with chitin and siorim. There's no such thing as a valid Eruv with chitin and siorim. You have to take the chitin and siorim and you have to make a bread out of it. That's mazon shtei sudos. Rav is only giving you the shear of mazon shtei sudos in its natural state as it applies to the case of an ani, and take that shear in its natural state, convert it into bread, and you give him bread for shtei sudos, and that's an Eruv. Now you can set up an Eruv. So I'll read to you the beer here. He says, Eidam ru'im l'achila, siorin and chitin are not edible, below tikkun. U'lefichach ein ma'arvim bohem. Certainly there's no Eruv with chitin and siorin. The keitzed emkeina omar rav, al divrei ha-mishnah, v'chein li Eruv. So Rav Yosef, your back is against the wall just like mine is in the Braisa. El al karcha, kavanas ravi, shaminim hara'uyim l'achila shi'uram b'Eruv kishi'urim shal elu b'maiser ani. That with regard to each species of food, each category of food, relative to that category, these are the shi'urim. Ain kavanoso, Rav never meant to say shekol aminim shuskru linyan meiser onik sherim li eruv, that you could actually make an eruv with these chitin usiorim that you're giving out in the field to the ani. In Cain, af divrei Rav, even what Rav said, right? If you're going to say he made it as a comment on the Mishnah, according to Rav Yosef, mistaber, what he really meant to say was that Cain hu le'inyan amidim shehuskru bein b'mishnah, bein b'braisa, that you could take those minim, if you have the shear, and then you could prepare the food, but you're going to need a tikkun in order to make it tangible. It's really Muslim shtei sudos as is. And by the way, this reminds me of the sugi that we had about the bark of a tree. And we said that Rabbi Yochanan held that it's mekabel tumas ochlin if you get it when it's soft, because you could cook it. So with regard to tumas ochlin, I considered it an ochel because sofo at the end, I can cook it. But with regard to erevin, right now it's non-edible in its present state. It's not an erev. Ella, so finally, we have to understand what bothered Rav Yosef, because we tried it and it didn't work. And the Gemara answers, the reason why Rav Yosef holds that Rav made his statement dafka on the Mishnah, Mishum de Ketani, it says in the Mishnah, Chatzi log yayin. And Chatzi log means shtei revios of yayin, which is shtei revios of a lug, which is the same as chatzi lug. And the reason why he calls it shtei revios is because it's two meals. So in each meal, he's going to have a revios. But all told, it's a chatzi lug. Ah, v'yoma Rav, and now Rav says, mi arvin b'shtei u'mida be'inan kulei hai. I'm sorry, I skipped something. The Omar Rav Ma'arvin b'shtei revios halug shel yayin, and that shear is the same shear for both Meiser Sheni, well, let's say Meiser Oni, and what? And Eruv. In other words, since we need such a vast amount, right, such an amazing volume of wine for an Eruv, we need Shtei Revios. Shma Minah, Ki Omar Rav Achein Le'eruv, Aho Masnisin Ka'omar. So it means the following. That what bothered Rav Yosef is that Rav made a statement independent of the Mishnah and the Braisa. He was talking, somebody asked Rav, how much yayin do I need for an Eru? And Rav says, Ma'arvin b'shtei revios shel yayin. Now, if Rav was being machadesh, a chiddush, that as far as yayin is concerned, for an Eruv, you need a massive amount of yayin, a very serious volume. You need a revius times two. And as we said before, because he's drinking a full cup of wine, which I think we said, according to the Chazanish, was 300, whatever it's called there. What's it called? 300. Can anybody help me with that? Yeah. Yeah, what's that called? Is that, that's Rashi Tevis for what?
Cubic centimeters.
Oh, cubic centimeters, okay. So it's a massive, serious amount of wine. You know, Shir Chazanish, for each meal, that's how much wine you have to drink, and that's how much wine you have to supply the Ani, and that's how much wine you have to put down as an Eruv. So therefore, Kikom Rav, when Rav said V'chein Li Eruv, meaning he found the Mishnah, and the Mishnah quoted the Tanakam against Rabbi Akiva, who requires two revios for Matnas Aniyim. Ah, Rav got very excited about this Mishnah, because he thought that this Mishnah now support, at least the Chachom in the Mishnah, support his view about the minimum amount of yayin that you need for an Eruv. So he got very excited, and he says, V'chein l'inyan Eruv, Shma Minah. So this is a very good proof that Rav must have added the V'chein L'inyan Erev as an addendum to the Mishnah, because the Mishnah addressed Yayin. Yayin doesn't appear at all in the Braisa. And since Rav was already committed in a different discussion to the minimum shear of yayin for an Erev of two revios. Therefore, when he saw the Mishnah, and he got very excited, the Mishnah supports his view, he added the words, v'chein li Erev. So here's where we have a machlokus between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi, at the end of the day, says that there's no nafkamina between the Mishnah and the Braisa. And it comes out, and this is what bothers Tosfos a lot, that all of Rav Yosef's Kpeda really boils down to in what context Rav made those two, you know, added those two words, v'chein li Erev. Did he say it on the Braisa? Did he say it on the Mishnah? And Rav Yosef had a tremendous calculation here that no doubt Rav was adding his comment to the Mishnah. And that's the way Rashi has it. Tosfos says, I can't accept this. Rav Yosef says, let God in heaven forgive Rav Menashe because he accused Rav of saying v'chein li Erev on the Braisa. And the Braisa has no mention of Yayin. For that he needs Slicha Mechila. For Tosfos, rejecting Rashi, Dibra Maskel Mai, comes to the conclusion that there is an afkamina between the Braisa and the Mishnah. Rav Yosef is only proving that Rav made his comment of a Chen Linyan Erev on the Mishnah because there's a machlokas between the Mishnah and the Braisa. And he writes the following. Again, I'm just giving you the Hebrew summary of Tosfos. Lachain Bira Tosfos, and this again based on the Marashah's understanding of Tosfos. Shebe Emes HaGemara Hevina She'ein Lilmod Zemizeh V'im Rav Amris Dvar V'ala Mishnah Efshar She'davka B'minim Elu, only in those minim that are listed in the Mishnah, Shove Shir Eruv L'Shir Maiser Sheni. Aval Shar Minim Hanizkarim V'Braisa Ein Shi'uram Shovim V'ein Hashir L'Inyan Eruv. Now, right now, I can't tell you 100% that I can flesh out all the details here, meaning the exact nafkamina. What I can tell you is that according to Tosfos, Rav never was committed to equate the shiurim of Maaser Sheni, of Maaser Ani, and Eruv with regard to the Braisa. Those species, those categories that are mentioned in the Braisa, that's as far as Maaser Ani is concerned. And has no bearing on Eruv. That's Rav Yosef's point. That heaven forbid to tell me that Rav made his statement of Echein le'Eruv with regard to the Braisa, because it's only with regard to those minim that are enumerated in the Mishnah, did Rav equate the shear of Maaser Ani with that of Eruv, but not with regard to the minim that are listed in the Braisa. So I have the general understanding of Tosfos. The specifics, the nuances, I can't flesh out for you. Exactly what would be the shear, for example, of Afarsikim and so forth and so on, all listed in the Braisa, according to Rav, in the context of Rav Yosef, that I don't know. But what I do know is that Tosfos is coming up with a whole new perspective on the Maskonas HaGemara. Rav Yosef is proving from the Shtei Revios Yayin that since Rav made that statement elsewhere and he established that the minimum shear for an Erev Tchumen in Yayin is Shtei Revios, that's why Rav added his comment of a Chein Linyan Erev to the Mishnah in Peah. And what was the agenda of Rav Yosef by proving this through that calculation? To tell you that Rav, when he looks at the, you know, the foodstuffs that are enumerated in the Braisa, he would not have added the comment v'chein le'erev, because those foods have a distinction between Maaser Ani and Erev. And the shiurim for Maaser Ani are not identical with those of an Erev vis-a-vis those categories of food that are mentioned in the Brisa. And that's what he says. Aval hamidim haniskarim bebrisa ein shiurim le'inyan eruv el le'inyan meiser ani. And honestly, I'm excited about Tosfos. I hope you are as well, because after learning, you know, for an hour, we learned this gigantic sugya about Rav Yosef objecting to the statement of Rav Menashe in the transmission of Rav, and it comes out that according to Rashi, marketously, it doesn't matter one bit whether Rav made his comment equating the shear of Maiserani of Shtei Sudos with the shear of Eruv in the context of the Mishnah, in the context of the Braisa. There's not a hair's breadth of a difference. You know, one is left a little bit wanting as to why Rav Yosef raised the roof here when Chas V'Sholem, you know, Rav Menashe tells us that Rav made his comment as an addendum to the Braisa. So when there's no nafkamina, as the lawyers say, it doesn't cut ice. And therefore, Tosis has one up it. But, you know, I don't have all the nuances here. So Lamaisa, if Tosis is writing the codes, what would he codify as the halach, the shiurim, for those species that are enumerated in the Braisa as far as Erevin are concerned? As far as Maiser Ani is concerned, no doubt that Braisa is a reliable source and we can paskin like the Braisa. I don't know what would be the shear as far as Erev is concerned, according to Tosfos. So, Mishnah Shem, tomorrow we'll talk about Omer Mar, and we'll discuss Chometz, vinegar, and that is approximately, if you go up from the bottom of the daf here on Chavtes, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about 8 lines up from the bottom.